It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The latest from financial markets today, as February 2018 marks the return of volatility to financial markets. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Yesterday, the Dow closed up 2.3%, 567 points. As it happens, earlier in the trading day, it had been down just by that number of points, 567, a swing of nearly 1,200 points in a single trading session. So up yesterday, but this morning, U.S. stock index futures are down. In the case of the Dow future, down 0.7%. The S&P future is down 0.8%. The NASDAQ future down 0.7%. European markets are up, with key stock indicators in Paris, Frankfurt, and London up in the 0.3% to 0.7% range. In the case of the FTSE index in London, it is up 0.6%. Stock market gyrations prompt obvious personal finance questions about how to allocate a portfolio if you have one, but they also prompt deeper questions about whether market uncertainty can dent the faith in the future that drives business decisions, including hiring. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has been talking to some experts about that toughest of questions. What is next? Mitchell.
Well, you know, David, no one really knows, of course. But, you know, there does seem to be some consensus among analysts that the huge jigs up and jags down of the last few days weren't driven by some sudden shift in economic fundamentals in the U.S. or around the globe. You know, a deterioration in employment or consumer spending or business confidence, you know, or some spike in energy costs or something. Instead, Aaron Brown, who's at UBS Asset Management, says this is about bond yields and inflation expectations and the like, sort of the stuff for investors. And it didn't come from out of the blue either. The market just went up and up for the past year.
Investors were expecting that we would see a pullback at some point. The pace of the decline was certainly extraordinary. But to experience a 10% pullback is not out of the ordinary in a normal market cycle.
Now, these financial markets don't operate in a vacuum. There's also a political context, and we're talking, Mitchell, at a time that there's talk in Washington of possibly a grand budget deal led by Republicans and Democrats in the Senate that might fund military and domestic spending, avert a government shutdown for longer than a couple weeks, perhaps a couple years.
Right. And I asked Brown about this, you know, whether Washington's political gridlocking, you know, leading up to this market gyration on budget and debt issues maybe contributed to the recent market turmoil.
I don't think that the bulk of this move we've experienced has been driven by concern over lack of a spending bill. That said, I think for the market to stabilize, we do need to see some type of catalyst.
And, you know, a catalyst from Washington. She thinks a grand budget bargain would help. She said it certainly wouldn't hurt.
Wouldn't hurt. All right. Well, we'll certainly be following that from Marketplace's Washington Bureau as those talks unfold. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, thank you for that. Now, some people like volatility, like those who pay money for roller coasters, and parts of Wall Street like volatility. Here's Marketplace's Amy Scott.
You know who likes volatility? Traders.
They don't care if the trade is up or down. They make money on the trade.
That's independent banking analyst Nancy Bush. She says last year there were basically no big swings in the market, and the banks with big trading operations like Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley saw their trading profits slide.
It's been 19 months, I guess, since we've had a 2% correction in the markets. That doesn't happen, and that does not help banks. Volatility is a trader's friend.
Burke Dempsey saw firsthand the effects of low volatility on trading volume as managing director at the investment bank Wedbush Securities. The past few days have been a different story.
Now that flow's picked up, we've noticed that come right through the system.
Whether it'll last is anyone's guess. The VIX, an index that predicts short-term volatility, also known as the fear gauge, has also been swinging wildly. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Let's do some numbers here. Interest rates are lower this morning as interest in bonds rise. The yield on the 10-year Treasury note, a proxy for interest rates in America right now, is up at 2.77%. German Chancellor Angela Merkel's conservatives and the Social Democrats on Wednesday agreed to a coalition deal, taking Europe's economic powerhouse closer to a new government after months of uncertainty that unnerved allies and investors, in a move likely to mean a shift in Germany's Eurozone policy. Media there reported that that party, the SPD, would take the finance ministry, a post held until recently by conservative Wolfgang Schäuble, widely despised by many in struggling Eurozone states during his 8-year tenure for his rigid focus on fiscal discipline in places like Greece. So Wolfgang Schäuble perhaps on the way back in. When stocks and bonds get scary, often money moves into some currencies, but not as much this week. Interestingly, Marketplace's Andy Euler has more.
Whenever there's a volatile episode or a financial crisis like we saw 10 years ago, investors look for a place to park money where it's least likely to lose value.
Basically, we then term wherever that money goes as the safe haven.
Catherine Dominguez teaches economics at the University of Michigan. She says nobody dictates to investors where to put their money.
No government has said, come hither, we're a safe haven. It seems like their flows start to move in one direction or another.
Traditionally to the Japanese yen or Swiss franc. But Fawad Razakzada, an analyst at Forex.com, says even those currencies aren't acting as much like traditional safe havens as in the past. Central banks are more willing to intervene if they think their currencies are under or overvalued.
It kind of messed up everything. So it's nothing that used to be the case traditionally is the case anymore.
Some speculate the next safe haven currency might be cryptocurrencies because central banks don't control those yet. But given the volatility of Bitcoin recently, that might not work either. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.